Hey y'all, you're listening to another episode of Big Facts No Cap with Paul and Adrian, the only podcast that's number one with meal preppers and emotional lepers. Let's get into this episode.
Big Facts
No
Cap.
Big
Facts
No
Cap.
No Cap.
Big Facts
No
Cap.
Big
Facts
No Cap.
No Cap.
Big
Facts No
Cap. Cap.
No cap.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
No cap.
What are emotional lepers?
People who you can't get too close to, Adrian, because they'll hurt you.
That's a PC term to use these days?
Why would it not be? Is leper out?
I mean, it seems kind of biblical. I don't know if it
words in the Bible we can't use anymore.
It seems
we'll
old.
Say goodbye to like all the words, Adrian.
To Aramaic. Did we solve leprosy? Who's the last leper? And also, yeah, I feel like that's just, it feels outdated. It feels like you're not supposed to say that about people or compare them to that
emotional lepers
disease.
I don't, well, maybe it's like a self-deprecating thing. You can't see like a sad boy artist being like, that's how deep.
Are you a sad boy artist? Is that why you thought of it?
Exactly.
Or have
that's
you heard
how
this
deep,
in
dark, okay. And conflicted I am that I just hurt everybody. Stay away from me.
From the twisted mind of Paul, demented
I'm
mind
an emotional
of Paul.
Leper.
Look at you, emotional.
No. We all know it's look at you, emotional.
Yeah, look at you, emotional.
Look at you, emotional.
Look at me, emotional. Look at you.
Look at you.
Emotional.
Nope, you.
Sound pretty emotional. I'm cool.
I sound emotional because I'm...
Italian?
Yeah, in today's PC culture, you can't call any Italian emotional.
You know, you definitely can. There's a battle rapper who is Italian, and specifically another battle rapper slept with his girlfriend before he was even together with his girlfriend. So it wasn't even like it was a weird thing to bring up in a battle, but people brought it up for so long afterwards. And he did get a little bit emotional about it. Also, funniest thing in the world, he's an Italian guy. His last name is literally Pulice, like police. And so people have also brought that up as during his battles as well.
Well, what are their names? Tell us the battle rappers' names if people want to look them up.
Mike P.
Mike P. versus?
Yeah, I told you his last name. Ryda is... Him versus Ryda is when Ryda talks about sleeping with his girl. And then Bill Collector beat him in the next round, also talking about it. And then everyone else has brought
it
up.
I'm not saying you didn't give us enough information that I could figure it out. But why make somebody go through 5 Google searches if they're interested?
Who's interested?
Then why bring it up?
I don't know, because it's my podcast. I can do what I want.
But why not mention the names for those who are interested?
I said his last name. There's the name of the information was
why
there.
Why make
you
me
have
go
my
through
number.
5 Google searches? You're really moving.
Why
this
are you going? Why are you going through Google searches? You don't got to do nothing.
What if I was interested?
You could text me,
or I could ask you right now.
Yeah, and I gave you the information. I don't know why I'm being grilled, officer.
You're not being grilled. I'm just calling you out for routine bad behavior you engage in.
Routine bad behavior. I didn't realize this was immoral.
I'm just saying, it's bad pedagogy how you do this. You're not educating our audience.
Mm.
You're using jargon.
I don't think that's what we're here for.
You're letting things go above their heads.
Oh, well, I can't help it if my bars go over their heads.
Man, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I lashed out at you like that. This is why I'm an emotional leper.
Emotional. Look at you.
Yeah, man. I hurt people I love. If I should stay away from me.
Have you been listening to a lot of Lil Peep recently, or what are you doing? You've been listening to a lot of Echo 2K? I don't know who would be the person now.
I know, that lane really, it seems a lot less occupied than it did for a second.
Yeah.
Can't say I'm sad about it. It wasn't very good music to my ears.
I appreciate some of the samples. They pick out some cool stuff sometimes when you're making that kind of music.
Mm.
But now, what have you been up to?
Not much happened to me this week. How about you?
Let's see. No, I just had a lot of medical stuff going on. I went to the dentist yesterday, and then I went to go get labs and go see my endocrinologist today. And not only did it take the labs forever because it was one guy running it today, but when they called my number for me to go in and get my labs done, I literally see the parking enforcement guy park his car outside, and I was like, oh, god damn it. I was like, this is gonna ruin my day. And would you believe it? He started ticketing the cars on the other side first, so I got to my car before he ticketed me.
Oh, nice.
So thank God for that. That was about to be a day ruiner. No, nothing, no crazy stories or anything. I got some media roundup, but nothing, really interesting in terms of, what's going on in my daily life. Oh, what did I do? Oh, I went to go see James McCann on Tuesday. That was cool. Great show. Shout out to him. Let's see.
Oh, you did on the last episode, mention how you'd quit Duolingo and were moving to a new app that you thought you would stick with. Have you stuck with it? Has it been?
Yeah, nice. I still do it every day. Yeah. This was funny. I was talking to Phil and he's talking about his daily routine and how when he works from home, he tends to just like do it over the entire day. And he's like, I kind of want to start doing it all in the morning. That way I just kind of get it done. I'm also considering switching to pooping at night. And I was like, is that
what?
Is that something? He was like, in the morning, I just take too long if I poop. I'm like, my whole day's gone. And I was like, OK, first of all, taking too long to poop. Second of all, you think you have the control to be able to like schedule it like that where it's like, all right, I'll poop at night instead. I'll shower in the morning. I'll poop at night. I was like, I don't understand. I don't understand what you think you're doing here.
Yeah, but, that's crazy. He must have like a no, because I talk to him sometimes and he does not have a consistent enough diet for that to be a thing. I could understand if this was a boring person.
He consistently eats a lot of Zaxby's.
I could understand if this was a boring person who had like oatmeal every day for lunch and for dinner chicken breast with rice. That's not Phil. Half the time he's like, I went to a sushi pizza place last night. That is not a meal that is conducive to having regular poop.
I think he mentioned earlier in the conversation that he had 3 chicken strip tacos from Taco Bell.
Exactly. How is he pooping at the same time every day with that diet?
I don't know. Boy with golden colon.
Ridiculous.
His body's different, dog.
Is that good content? No. Does our audience want to hear about Phil's poop schedule?
Well, the point that I'm making, the grander point, is that I have on my calendar, on my little planner every day, DTs, daily tasks. And that is when I wake up, all I want to do is get that crossed off for the day. And part of that is my language learning. So I have stuck with it. Doesn't give you a streak. Doesn't feel good. There's no endorphins. I just have to learn how to say Spanish words, but it's okay. The only thing that really annoys me is there's 2 things. One is that they oftentimes teach you a new word. And then the very next exercise is, what does this mean? And it's like, you literally just, last slide, you just showed me that. Like, give me some time to make it harder. The other thing that's really annoying is that there are some exercises where it says, the exact phrase that it says is, listen and try to understand. And I was like, why do I feel like a bad boyfriend? Why are you like talking to me like I'm not understanding your feelings? Like, and it's like, so the way it works is that there's like up to anywhere from like 30 to 70 slides that you go through every day. And so it can get really repetitive with them being like, listen and try to understand. And I was like, why? You make me feel weird. Why are you saying it like that?
Has there been any benefit to like just the fact that it's a new app? So it's maybe certain things that Duolingo didn't bother to cover, or has there been no like, oh, this is kind of different than what Duolingo would cover?
They seem to have a completely different curriculum. So like, yeah, I'm learning a lot of different new things. And what I like about it, we'll do a little compliment sandwich, I guess. Every few slides, maybe like once or twice per lesson, they have like a cultural note where they're like, this is something that you would notice in Latin America if you went there. So these are words you should know, or this is why we're teaching you this thing. So yeah, that's nice.
Cool. Have you, as you've improved in your Spanish, talked to your parents and had them know what you say that's Mexican Spanish versus, like, other Spanish?
Have we talked about this before?
No.
My dad was very big on me learning Guatemalan Spanish. He was like, you need to get on Facebook and, like, start learning, like, Guatemalan slang specifically, because, what did I say? I think I was using some curse words as, like, a joke, and he was like, Guatemalans don't say that. You need to go find out the curse words that we use.
Yeah, your dad was on it. He was like, nah.
Yeah, you know, your parents like that? They don't want you learning different types of Arabic?
I don't think my parents give a shit about me knowing or not knowing Arabic. I think it was an accident I learned it.
Good for you. Me? I feel like I should be done with the Spanish thing by now. I've been doing it for years. I was just thinking about what I would do for a next language if I actually learned Spanish, but that might be years away at this
point. I don't think you can ever like close that box and put a knot on it unless you live there for a couple years. Otherwise, you're always kind of going to be in a process of learning. Not having
what people
learned.
Do in the language discussions is they put their like certification levels. So, like you take the test and it's like you're an SB level at Spanish and you're like, so I'm like a conversational in this, I'm like a this level in this language. So people kind of use that as their benchmark sometimes.
I think that is always like you can get to a point, but you'll probably always get worse over time unless you really hone it in over like a period of years living there. That's the only way you'll like.
That seems like privilege talking. You gotta move? You gotta go on a study abroad?
Fair. Maybe it's too much.
You live in a digital world.
I think
baby.
You just always get worse at languages. And if you really want to, like, yeah, finalize knowing something for good, you really do have to just use it for a while.
I think the finale is if someone does that joke where they go into the settings on your phone and change your phone to a different language. If you can navigate back into English, you know the language.
Oh,
do you want to do a media roundup?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. I had a bunch because I watched some stuff while I was house sitting. I'm going to break the rules that Paul has set for the segment that we made up and bring in some middling reviews. I watched Drop, which was something that I thought looked good from the trailer. It was the one where it's the woman who's at a fancy restaurant on a date and she gets like the airdrop messages from some guy who's watching her telling her what to do. It was kind of dumb overall, though. I'm not going to lie. It was it's kind of one of those movies where like the premise inherently would have worked better as like a short film. It was a little bit too long for what it was. I watched Hard Eyes. Hard Eyes did the same thing as Drop, where they do the cliche of at the very end of the movie, they have to do a joke fake scare. And that left a bad taste in my mouth because I had just watched Drop the night before. But it was an okay movie overall. I watched Sleepaway Camp, classic 70s, 80s horror movie. I actually was going to go watch it in Sacramento because the lead actress was going to be in Sacramento at the theater watching the movie with everybody and then doing a Q&A. But that made the ticket a lot more expensive. So I was like, no, I'm not going to do that. But that movie actually is good. I can see why it's kind of a cult classic. There is a biological inaccuracy about honeybees in the movie. If you text me what it is, audience, I'll Venmo you $1 if you're the first one. Other stuff. I watched the Please Don't Destroy special, and I'm not gonna lie, that actually got a lot of audible laughs from me. It's so easy to want to hate the Nepo babies, and you know, we should. It's, you know, we should clown on them for it. But, you know, some of the comedy's legitimately very good. I laughed quite a bit. And then, yeah, last thing was I went to go watch The Florida Project at the Dreamland upon Paul's recommendation, and it was very sad, but it was very, very good. I kind of am starting to get a little bit Baker pilled. I think I might need to go check out more of Sean Baker's movies.
Yeah, it's crazy. He's a Trump supporter, right?
Well, he just likes Kyle Rittenhouse, right?
Yeah, maybe he's not like a Trump supporter. He does like the IDF, too, or at least he follows IDF babes on Twitter.
Well, come on. Is that one of those things where he's doing like a tactical misogyny?
Yeah. That's such a dumb guy thing. That really does make me think less of a person. Like, who's following the babes of any military? What's going on in somebody's mind to be like, that's what gets me?
And then the last thing I wanted to talk about, if you got a chance to see it, is they released the first official artwork for the new Avatar series.
Oh, cool. And let me look that up.
I kind of want to hear your take on it, because I didn't have the most positive first impression, but I'm sure it'll be fine.
It's called Fire and Ash.
No, that's the blue Avatar. I think it's called, like, Haven? Seven Haven? Something like that? It's another female Avatar, but we don't know if she's a Lezzy.
My only problem with it is how the sky is almost looks a little bit like...
It's the spirit world, baby.
Yeah, I guess this is supposed to be the spirit world, so it's hard to know right now, but something about it looks a little bit almost... I don't know, the contrast is so high that it looks like something that's supposed to be a wallpaper, but not something that would look good animated.
It almost looks like a video game to me a little bit.
Yeah. I don't have a problem with the style. I think I have a problem with that specific color palette and composition. I think the style of the art is fine.
Mm.
Hey, I'm doing that thing I make fun of, which is being an adult who cares about children's media. I'm sure if it's bad, it'll be perfectly ignorable. It's not for me.
Or you could be really mean to the people involved.
Oh, yeah, I can get really angry about it and insist that I'm the core audience, not the children who clearly enjoying watching this.
Did you have anything?
No, but that did remind me of I saw somebody saying something stupid on Reddit, so I went and argued with them. And then I clicked on their profile, and they'd been posting on r/DuckTales. And one of their comments was like, well, I hand it to you, the original was for children. The reboot actually has a lot of adult themes. And I was like, okay, I regret having engaged with this person. You forget sometimes. It's just you're talking
you
to the lowest.
A very special boy.
Talking to the lowest common denominator. Like, yes, of course he has a bad opinion on politics. I'm not going to argue them into a good opinion.
I thought you were the... far left pipeline. That's what they called you, the de-radicalizer.
No, I think that's ContraPoints.
I get you guys confused a lot.
That makes sense because you were transphobic and you don't acknowledge your gender as a woman. So you get us confused.
No, I just see you as a very feminine figure.
Well, also as part of your transphobia, you refuse to acknowledge my gender identity.
No, I just think you're voluptuous. A very voluptuous man. A nubile voluptuous man.
Do you want to get into the theme then?
Let's do it.
Meal prep.
Meal prepping.
Is this something you do? Because you suggested the theme, and it wouldn't have come to mind for me because I've never really meal prepped. Not in any sort of like regular or...
You're cooking fresh every single day?
I mean, I have leftovers a lot of days, or like I'll eat sandwiches or something that doesn't take cooking.
Oh.
But like actually prepping ahead of time, like in a thoughtful way where it's like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. No, I've never done that.
Wow. It's so convenient.
So you're a fan, because I think this might be an interesting dichotomy, because while I admit I've never done it, my perception of it is that it sounds kind of ridiculous. Like, I don't want to do it. It doesn't sound like a nice or good idea to me.
You don't want to be able to pick out a Tupperware container with your lunch for the day already made every single day.
I work from home. I can get myself, like, something made.
Oh, so we're back to the privilege aspect. Okay.
But even when I worked from the office, I would just prep with dinner. It would either be leftovers for a long time, for a few years in a row. I guess maybe this is a type of meal prep. I would prep the ingredient by buying a rotisserie chicken at the beginning of the week and tortillas.
Oh, great way to meal prep. Are you kidding me? Great way to meal prep, a rotisserie chicken?
Yeah, but I wouldn't actually prep each day. I would get all the meat off the chicken when I bought it, and then I would buy tortillas, and then I would just make like a chicken wrap or a chicken burrito each day of the week with like different veggies or fillings. But I would still make it the day before work.
Day before work. Okay. So you're almost there. We just have to nudge you a little bit further and getting all those day before works into Sunday.
Why would I make it Sunday? Because then it's like this is going back to the
sandwiches. Like, you don't need to meal prep sandwiches. You meal prep actual meals. Like, if you just want to eat something convenient, you can do that. But no, meal prep is like rice, chicken. Like,
rice doesn't taste as good 5 days down the road.
It tastes the exact same.
It really does not.
It really does.
It does not.
Maybe you're making bad rice.
It just does not. Like, 5 days
we're
going to
do an experiment in Chicago. I'm going to bring rice, one that's freshly made and one that's 5 days
okay,
old.
Okay, let's do
it. I'm going to have you blind taste it.
I 100% am sure I could tell.
All right. Now I'm definitely going to have to check a bag, but I'll do it.
They're going to scrape that rice for bomb juice.
Absolutely. That's ridiculous. There's definitely things where you can tell that the quality goes down. And yes, there's always the things about like you got to keep sauces separate, otherwise things get soggy. You know, there's containers
and the burrito
for that.
Thing. Obviously, you couldn't do because bread gets soggy.
You freeze it.
Yeah, but
burrito.
I believe in prepping things to freeze, but that's different than meal prep.
No, that's meal prep.
Okay.
One of the main meal prep YouTubers I watch literally. His main sponsor is a vacuum sealer for your frozen items so that they don't get any freezer burn.
I'm not against like prepping ingredients or prepping meals, frozen meals. I think I'm talking about a very specific type of meal prep, the Sunday prep for every day of the week meal prep.
See, I'm a radical meal prep inclusionist. Oh, okay. So.
What other foods do I think? Like, even chicken breast, I wouldn't want to eat. Like, I'm not against it. I don't think it's gone bad. And I will, if it's a leftover, eat a chicken breast like 4 or 5 days later. I wouldn't prefer it. I wouldn't plan to make something on a Sunday and eat it on a Friday. That's like a cooked chicken breast.
Tastes same to me.
Really interesting. In the fridge?
I season it well. I sear it well. I do the proper packaging. So, you know, it's all pretty good. I will say, though, that is a big part of it, is that I am willing to eat pretty much any food longer than most people would out of the fridge.
How about this? I
think some people don't even do rice 3 days
in the
fridge.
I'm willing to eat food that long. It's just not my preference, is what I'm getting at. I wouldn't plan it like that. I am very against that type of waste. Like, if something doesn't smell bad and it's less than, like, a week, it's fine.
But, so wait, you have an hour for lunch every day, or you have however much time you want every day for
however
lunch?
However much I want.
Okay, well, see, this is what you don't get the point. This is your dad trying to get the reusable coffee cup filler pod for the K-cup thing, and you being like, that's not, you're missing out on the convenience and the point of it. And it's like, yeah, if you just fundamentally don't understand the thing, then yeah, I can see why you don't like it.
No, because I have worked from an office before and I still didn't meal prep. I still thought that that was a lower quality dining.
You meal prepped yesterday, the day before. You meal prepped.
Oh.
You just didn't meal prep.
Okay, well, now you're expanding the definition to just being the point of,
I'm an inclusionist.
Making lunch the night before.
Making things ahead of time.
Making lunch the night before. Okay, you're right. Okay, if you want to define meal prep like that.
That is a prepped meal.
Are you that afraid of conflict, Adrian? You can't let us sit.
Batch cooking. If you want to change the theme to batch cooking, we
you
can talk about batch
cooking. You can't let us sit
but
with
meal prepping
attention.
Is,
that's how scared you get.
I'm not emotional. You're emotional. I'm Italian.
What I was going to say was I Googled meal prep before this to see like what sorts of foods people make. One of them was like the kind of like standard Arab salad of like
cucumber tomato,
and I think that to me it feels like it would be slimy by day 5 in the fridge.
No, it's fine. It stays good. It's one of those dishes that actually gets better with time. Like you should probably make it a day ahead of
time.
You
should
make
it a day ahead of time because the olive oil and
the juice.
Lemon juice definitely give it like a little bit of flavor. But I do think that after that 1 or 2 days, I don't know, cucumbers get a little slimy in the fridge. They get like something to them that I don't love.
Yeah, they're fine.
I'm not saying they're not fine. I'm saying it's not optimal.
Is meal prep optimal? I think that's not the goalposts. And
it's not
shout
optimal
out to,
for flavor is what I'm getting at. Maybe it's optimal for your lifestyle or for...
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true. Shout out to the nutritionist who said she felt sad for me because I meal prepped and didn't make something new every day.
Aw. No, am I picking on a scab here? Did you finally get over that? And now I just came right in to reopen that wound?
No, because I still think meal prepping is a... I think that was just... that's another one where it's like your life's really got to revolve around your meal planning for a different meal every day if that's your priority, which it seemed like it did. Like, I saw her calendar with her, like, this is what we're making Monday, this is what we're making
and
Tuesday.
And to be fair, maybe she would think my life is sad because I don't actually make a meal every day. Like, a lot of days really are just like... You know,
sardines on toast.
Yeah, something like that. Exactly. Or like an avocado mushed up on toast, or eggs with chili oil.
That's why you can't afford a house.
Eggs on rice. Yeah. So I don't know. A lot of like, you know, grilled veggies is like a quick thing when you don't actually have a meal planned. Just oven grilled veggies. But anyway, we're going to meal.
Those
prep.
Are roasted.
Roasted. Thank you.
Meal prep. Yeah. Which you can roast vegetables for a meal prep. Works pretty well.
Yeah. Well, then what are your go-tos as a meal prepper? Do you switch it up? Is every week the same or is 1 week different than last week?
I think chicken shawarma was the only thing where like I was making the same thing week after week to try and make it get better at it. Oftentimes, and this is what I was about to say, is Phil finds it very objectionable when I talk about eating meat slop. But like that, I mean, that is a lot of like the joke that we were going to do for a third segment that we didn't do is that like, a lot of meal prep meals are like insert country, insert like protein, insert bowl. And so it's just like, you know, Mediterranean chicken bowl. And it's just, you know, chicken and rice and vegetables thrown together. So he doesn't like it when I call it meat slop. But I'm like, yeah, I mean, it's basically like ground meat, vegetables, some like black beans and salsa and rice. And like that, it, always a classic. It always works. As long as you season it well, it works fine. You have to have your accoutrement. You have to have your like little squeeze of lime and your little bit of cilantro. I do a lot of curries. Right now, I'm doing the chicken shawarma with the Afghan
curries
naan.
Curries feel like they would last better to me. I could see a curry on Friday being as good as a curry on the Sunday you made it.
And that's a meal prep, baby.
Stews, soups, things like that, I can see lasting. Although, I would still make do a Wednesday rice. I think that could double your meal prep quality if on Wednesday you made another cup or 2 cups of rice for the next 2 days.
Yeah, I have a rice cooker, so it's not that. I will do that sometimes because like I'll make it a cup at a time. And, like, it's so easy to, I put it, go to the gym, and then, you know, it's done when I get back. So that, I don't always make big batches of rice. Yeah, and then, like, I don't know, you, like, cook some chicken thighs in a different type of marinade, and then you put some sweet potatoes that you roasted and some, like, I don't know, asparagus, and boom. You got, you know, it's vegetable protein, you know, some sort of carb.
Can I pitch to you? I bet you Japanese curry would be good meal prepped. I could see that.
Ooh. I have a hot curry mix in my cupboard that I haven't
Although
used.
Maybe, I mean, I guess I don't make it with beef for Isabel, but I was going to say for you, maybe, I don't know, beef prices are going up, so maybe you'd find a sub or make it with, I guess you can do it with chicken.
I also don't cook beef that much. Yeah, you can do it with chicken. chicken, potato, carrot. What's not to like?
What's not to like?
And, yeah, I don't know. Like, a lot of times I don't even go to these things with a recipe in mind. It's just kind of like, you have the temp. It's a very NetShack way of thinking of things. I don't know if I got it from him. But, like, the way that he explains how to make a burrito is, like, you need something that fulfills this component. Any of these things work. You need something that fulfills this component of what a good burrito is. Any of these things will work.
But what if it's not from a specific part of Mexico, and then somebody yells at me about it not being authentic?
Hey, meal prep's personal, baby. It's just for you.
Ooh.
And then, I don't think this is really meal prep, but, like you said, like, a rotisserie chicken and a couple of bag salads. I'm not gonna lie. That's lunch a lot of days.
Well, yeah, that's more like what I do for lunch a lot of days. Like, I'm saying I'm not cooking meals because I'm doing stuff like that.
I respect that. Yeah. My roommate actually gets the subscription boxes, which seem fine. It seems like she eats some pretty cool meals. She's vegetarian, so I think it helps her a lot.
Which ones? Like, the ones she cooks? Because I've seen a lot of people with the getting Factor nowadays, which is like, I guess maybe it's protein is their thing? But it's like prepped meals.
Well, no, they send you like microwavable meals, right? Yeah.
It's prepped meals.
Yeah, that seems particularly heinous. I don't know if I can get on board with that. She gets HelloFresh, I think, the green
one.
Where they send you the individually wrapped ingredients in a bunch of plastic, but you know.
I would say across like the last 5 years, I've done like 4 or 5 boxes of that.
And?
It's nice. I mean, I don't do it as like a quality of life thing where it's like, oh no, I don't have time to prep meals. It's usually just like, this seems like a fun thing. I guess it's just kind of a novelty to sign up and get sometimes.
Mm. Yeah. Aren't all of their recipes online?
Yeah, I think so.
I might go to there for recipe ideas sometimes. But
what was I going to say?
I don't need them actually sending me the box.
Yeah, it's really not worth it. It's so pricey for what it is. And I'm also one of those people that doesn't mind going to the grocery store. So many people say it's a chore they hate or like it's an inconvenience. I find walking down the aisles and looking at brands kind of fun. I don't know what's wrong with my brain, but I enjoy it. So,
shout out to Camilla's mom. She used to go to Publix every single day.
Mm. Okay, I don't enjoy it that much.
If we had a Publix, I'd go.
But for her,
day.
That was checking out the competition.
Yeah. Are they finally getting some Trader Joe's son products?
What else? Okay, so we know about what you meal prep, which does seem...
I mean, if I start like an actual like 8-to-5 job, it's probably not impossible that I'll start meal prepping breakfast too. If I have to be like out the door by like 8 a.m. every day, I might have to like do the thing where in a muffin tin you make eggs and cheese and ham and like you have a little mini quiche every morning or whatever.
Well, I don't eat breakfast, but yeah. I guess frozen burritos are like the famous go-to for prepping breakfast too.
Yeah, you can do that. Or, well, if you're more carb tolerant, you mean like overnight oats or any of those kind of things, those like more cereally breakfasts are usually a go-to.
Yeah, I mean, I think since Internet Shack made that video about oats, that has, I have to give them credit, that added that to my diet, and I am a fan of oats.
Hey, nice.
I just thought they tasted nice, and I didn't realize how easy they were to, like, I'd never eaten them growing up, really, so it wasn't until his video that I was like, oh, that does seem pretty easy to just buy an actual bag of oats and make them, and it was, and it tasted pretty good, so.
Yeah, I think my memory from childhood was dry, packaged Quaker oats that's, like, apple and cinnamon, and it's just, like,
yeah, bleh. Those taste bad. Either that or, like, a hotel breakfast where those taste bad a lot of the time, too.
So mm-hmm.
Those were my only real previous exposure. What's up with, do you ever notice trends that don't make sense to you, but it's complaining about them seems like you're just, you know, yelling at the clouds, being a weird person who dislikes something they saw on the internet? Making salads in a jar. Mason jars.
Yeah, very 12 years ago, Cody.
Oh, okay. Maybe I'm late on this. The walls seem very thick, and it seems like a heavy thing. It just seems like not an optimal way to do it. It seems like old school Tupperware would hold the salad better, be like just lighter. I don't know. It's not letting air in
it's
either.
It's easier to carry, and you can shake it when you do the salad
dressing
application.
It's easier to clean after. You don't have to clean a heavy mason jar. Like, I love having mason jars around. It doesn't seem like salad is optimal. Eating it out of there would be tough because it's tall, so you're not going to be able to, like, stick a fork and eat it out of there. I don't know. It just seems like something that makes so much less sense than doing it in a traditional Tupperware that it... hurt my mind a little that it became a trend to meal prep salads and
that jars. Might be like the overnight oats where you do it in a mason jar, but I think a lot of people who do that have like plates and silverware at their job, so you can dump it onto a plate, but to transfer it to work you have a nice little, especially because like for some websites that do like 40 different meal preps you can do in a mason jar, it's really about just the aesthetic of the layers. It just kind of looks nice to have it all cool like that. And you're like, ooh, now I'm excited to eat my little lunch for the fifth time this week.
You're going to have 40 mason jars in your fridge? Your fridge is going to break under that weight.
No. You get one of those magnet strips at the top of your fridge. You can just hang them all up.
Yeah, but stuff like that, I don't know. Meal prepping, I guess, like you said about the aesthetic, there is like an aesthetic to meal prepping, which is almost like the OCD aesthetic of like you see the picture, the protein perfectly grilled at an angle in the kind of nice little box they have with like the little side salad. You said the cilantro and the wedge of lime. And it is appealing.
The little cup of salsa and the little metal ramekin.
Yeah, it does appeal to my mind. I am like, ooh, that does look cool.
I mean, I think one of the few times someone said, wow, Adrian, you're really put together, was when I came into work one time with my meal prep, and someone was like, damn, that's a nice looking meal prep. look who's got their life together.
Big shot Adrian.
It was just a lavash wrap. It wasn't even anything crazy.
What brand of lavash do you buy? From what store?
I think that's when I was shopping at Trader J's. Mm. I haven't been there in a while.
Cool. Do you want to get into columns about meal prepping? Any final ideas?
Final ideas. Oh, yeah. When I was thinking of the YouTuber that I follow, his whole thing is, and I'm not going to shout him out. I'm not saying his name, not because I'm exhibiting bad behavior, but more that I don't actually like recommend him to other people. But his whole thing is that like he meal preps everything, his desserts, his snacks, his main meals, his breakfasts, like every single thing that he eats is like something that he's meal prepped. And I don't know if I'm ever going to, I don't know what my life would have to look like to ever get there, but
because that just seems like so much work. Like if you think about meal prepping on a Sunday.
In the videos, he's like, hey, this only takes 2 hours on a Sunday. You do it all at the same time. While this is cooking, you get this going. While this is going, you get this going.
And what if on
chop these veggies?
What if on Wednesday a friend invites you out for a beer? What do you do? Shoot them?
Kill yourself. Yeah. Well, I like how mine was like self-harm and you were like, no, I'm aggressive.
Hey, emotional leprosy. Don't put me near people, man.
13th reason I'll why. Hurt you. Yeah. All right, yeah, you want to get into a column?
Yeah.
Alrighty. So, this is a new advice column. This is Horizon Home Care and Hospice. So, we're going to be talking about some old folks. And this is, when is it time for Dad to stop cooking? And so, this is a family caregiving advice column written by RN and CEO Emeritus Mary Hayner. Here we go. Question. My sibling and I are wondering when it's a good time to start having meals delivered for our 90-year-old dad. We've noticed lately that he struggles a bit in the kitchen with food preparation. Consequently, he eats what is simple and not always the most nutritious. We're starting to think that meals delivered each day may be the best option for him. How do we know when the time is right?
If you have the money, it sounds like the time is right. If his ego will allow for it, you should get on this.
Are dads usually big on cooking their own food? Is that usually a big ego point of contention?
I think with people who are aging, anything can be an ego point of contention. Who would want to be told that, like, because Meals on Wheels is something you imagine is for, like, somebody very, like,
mm-hmm.
incapable or elderly. That is very old. That's pretty crazy. He's living alone and still making his own meals. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That would be a weird point of pride, I think. Like, I would feel pretty sad if I couldn't make a meal for myself. I'd be like, man, I've lost something.
He struggles a bit in the kitchen with food preparation. Consequently, he eats what is simple and not always the most nutritious. It doesn't seem like cooking's a joy for him. It doesn't seem like it's the joy of cooking for him. So if it's not like that, I mean, I think they're probably down for it. It'll probably get better food. I think there's probably enough benefits. It's, you know, save yourself however much time you spend cooking every time. I don't know.
Classic advice column. They didn't give us enough information. Was he making a red sauce and spaghetti Sunday sauce daily? Like, yeah, Sunday sauce for you every Sunday growing up? Or is this like he's never cooked and now his wife is no longer around, so he's continuing to
cook? That's the vibe I got, is that like he maybe had to start cooking once his wife died.
Oh, then yeah, I guess it wouldn't be an ego thing. In which case, yeah, get him that food. He's probably hungry.
He's like, who's going to make my sandwiches now?
Who's going to make my sandwiches now?
Who's
going to tell me you make your own sandwich, you dirty dog?
Mm-mm-mm.
You lazy son of a bitch, make your own damn sandwich.
Is Meals on Wheels a charitable organization? Or because you said if you have the money, you should do it. Are there not people who do this more?
You know, I don't know. We could look it up. I think it is a charitable organization, but maybe there's also a paying tier. Like it's something where they subsidize it to a point that makes it affordable for people. But I'm not sure. Maybe it's completely free for everybody, but I don't know.
Because, like, if you're Uber and if you're Uber Eatsing every day, that's gonna rack up quick. And probably not any more nutritious than, or non-nutritious than the food he's making.
For an elderly person, do they really want the new spicy chicken sando from the gastropub
down the
street?
He wants the Takis fried chicken.
Yeah. Does he want the tacos and the weird
in this metal holder
that keeps each one upright, or does he want, you know, a meatloaf with gravy because he's an old man?
I was at a Mexican restaurant recently with some friends, and someone said about the taco holder, oh, I like to get that to people as a housewarming gift because people never buy that for themselves. And I was like, I think there's a reason. It's kind of stupid.
that really is a very funny thing for somebody to, yeah, like, people make fun of this thing. Obviously, the taco can sit flat and you fold it as you eat it.
Yeah. It'll be okay.
You don't need it to be folded for you visually in front of your face.
Oh, yeah. So, let's see. We don't have elderly parents. My grandma still cooks, even though she's, like, pretty old and has Alzheimer's. So, nothing's stopping her. So, I don't have too much personal experience with this. I think all the other old people that I've known in my life have been people that, like, my mom worked for, who were super rich, so, like, this wasn't really an issue for them
because they had a cook.
Yeah, my mom was cooking for him.
Ah, nice.
Yeah,
how do we know if he's ready for this? I think you need to give him a cooking challenge just to see if he's lazy or just
make him do a chopped challenge. I was going to say, it looks like from the picture that he's making a stir fry, which another great meal prep. Ooh, also pasta salad, another great meal prep for the summer. Now, if you're not well off, but your dad is well off, then your dad should definitely start dating like a 22-year-old and have her do the cooking.
You think Gen Z can cook like that, Adrian?
Oh, probably not. Maybe he's going to have to date someone a little bit more age appropriate. Let's go 27.
Okay, but he's got to find one of the weird ones who's all about being a trad wife on TikTok.
Oh, yeah.
No, you can't do that because then you're going to lose out on your inheritance. It's all going to her.
Yeah.
Hire a cook.
Get him those meal replacement shakes.
Oh, gosh. Why would you abuse your... Adrian, it's your own dad.
Elders are meant to be abused. That's why they call it elder abuse. It's got its own thing. When my neighbor was in high school wrestling, he had some cutting periods where he had to drink those, and they were really gross. I remember trying one once.
Ben did order Soylent a couple times, and I
really
tasted it.
Yeah. So he really liked experimenting with the meal replacement, meal prepping, meal delivery things.
He also did HelloFresh for a long time. But yeah, Soylent did not taste good. It did not do it for me. I don't think he actually really used it as like a full meal replacement. I think it was more of like a...
He'd eat like a steak and potato and a Soylent.
And not even after, on the side, like as a glass of milk.
Yeah, like he'd lap it up out of a bowl.
He would use it as a sauce. He would cook it down to use as a finishing sauce on the steak.
Yeah, that makes sense.
No, I think maybe it was more of like a convenience thing. Like if I get home late and want to head out, I can just grab one of these. Yeah, there was a couple years there where Ben really was experimenting with being way more of a tech bro than he ended up being.
That's good. All right, yeah. So any other advice for this old man and his children?
I don't know. 90 is so old to be living alone. Like, hey, if he can handle it, he can handle it. No, I mean, if cooking complex meals, if the fact that he's not making a daily souffle is the only thing that's concerning you, like, he's doing pretty well. Yeah, cool. I'm ready to hear the answer.
Yeah, I got nothing. All right. Answer.
Oh, maybe we did mention this earlier. Maybe Factor would be good for somebody who's aging.
Microwave meals?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I like that's another Phil-ism. Hopefully I'm not blowing up his spot, but Phil will sometimes talk to me about how... Oh, Phil meal preps a lot, by the way. We sometimes talk about and exchange recipes for meal prepping, but Phil will do the poor man's Factor, which is he'll go to, like, Food Lion and get, like, 5 lean cuisines. And I don't know. I used to eat those back in high school when I first got diagnosed with the beatus. And, like, I just don't think I'm ever going back to those. I'd rather make my own little chicken pasta. Now, Trader Joe's frozen meals. Those have a place. Anyways, all right. Answer?
Yeah, let's hear it.
All right. Answer. When a parent stops eating meals because food preparation is too difficult, you are right to pursue an alternate option. As you know, food preparation requires standing, fine motor skills, and movement. The longer someone lives, the more likely they will live with some sort of disability as time goes on. It's quite rare for a 90-year-old to have no issues with fine motor skills, vision, or mobility. It's more likely that they will have issues with all three. To start, watch him carefully when he eats, gets items in the kitchen, and cleans up. Discover what's easy for him and what's not. What steps does he skip or avoid in meal preparation? If he's using a cane or walker, standing for long periods to prepare food is just not practical. The next thing to do is make his kitchen as accessible as possible. There are steps you can take to make the kitchen easier and safer for him to navigate. Start with cleaning and organization. Help him organize cupboards so that the items he needs to use daily are easy to reach and not surrounded by clutter. Either leave top shelves empty or place decorative pieces on them. Organize his refrigerator. Make his container shelf or cabinet organized with only enough containers, all with lids on them. Clear out utensils and pans he doesn't use anymore. If your father has vision issues, which are fairly common at his age, it may be difficult or unsafe for him to manage a knife or pour hot liquids. An occupational therapist evaluation may offer specific insight to his limitations and specific solutions for his home. Consider discussing this with his physician and consider a referral. Then help him figure out whether he can get by with prepared food from the grocery store or if it's time for home-delivered meals. These days, healthy cut-up fruits and vegetables along with pre-prepared main dishes are readily accessible at upscale grocery stores. If that option works, it's simple and reasonably cost-effective. You may have to help him with a meal plan and assist with shopping if you are not already doing that for him. If meal prep or heating is too much for him, he may revert to unhealthy snacks to sustain him, like popcorn and chips. Then it's time to discuss home-delivered meals. They are readily available in most communities and will provide him with at least one balanced meal each day. Most communities call it Meals on Wheels. A quick internet search for your community department of aging will help you uncover what's available in your town. This is just another step on your journey that I am certain you will maneuver together. Keep reaching out for the information and support. It will help lighten the load. And that did bring up a few things that I kind of want to talk about. Do you have any first impressions?
No, all of that sounded like good advice.
Obviously this is, going past the caveat of assuming you don't have no major disabilities or whatever. I'm very anti-buying cut-up fruit, which Dorley is not. So that always kind of, it's not a thing to get angry about because it's someone else living their life.
Me and Isabel have that same dispute. She's bought cut-up watermelon, and I'm like, that's the same price as a watermelon. I'll cut it up for you just so that I can have the extra. Like,
yeah.
What is...
Oh, yeah, you're like, pay me the money you would pay the marketplace. Yeah. I'll go buy a watermelon. I'm making money. yeah, I have that same issue where it's like, it's not that hard to cut most fruits. What was the other thing I was going to say? How do you feel about not meal prepping, but like at Trader Joe's, they have the fresh item where it's a mirepoix of just already diced carrots, onions, celery, or sometimes they sell frozen bags of that. Or the frozen cubes of garlic or the frozen cubes of basil. Ginger, I think, also comes like that. I buy a lot of squeezed garlic.
I've bought the frozen ginger and garlic. Like I said, I use pre-prepped salad kits, mostly just because I find...
But, like, starting a soup with a mirepoix, like, do you ever just, like, buy, like, a...
No, that I think I can buy celery, onion, and carrot. Like, that's fine. Yeah, I think it really is the salad kits are the only one, and it's usually because I have too much left. Like, I never can eat, as many heads of lettuce as... Like, I'm never eating that many salads throughout a week, but I'll... one or two bags of salad with all the stuff mixed is about right.
Yeah, also, I remember thinking that it was absurd that I was buying bag salads, and I was like, I'm just going to get, all the ingredients for it. And I was like, hey, I don't know, salad dressing is actually kind of expensive on its own, weirdly enough. Like, it's kind of nice to just have a little bag of, like, a different type of dressing for every bag you get or whatever.
It is. So, you know what? I can't talk too much shit about the people who get the chopped fruit. I do think it's silly, but I guess that's because I can finish every single fruit. There's no fruit where I'm like, oh, that's too much fruit.
Mm.
But I guess with salads, it feels a little bit like that. Like, I don't know.
Well, it's also just nice to, like, not commit to, like, okay, I'm going to use this exact type of crouton for my next 100 salads or whatever. It is kind of nice to be like, oh, this one comes with this, thing or whatever.
Yeah, they do have fun flavor combos. I guess that's a little different.
They have Nashville hot bagged salad. They got pizza ranch salad. It's an insane world. Speaking of Trader Joe's, is this like the last bastion of I don't think they use the word oriental anymore, but they might as well. Like, they literally call a salad like Asian salad, and it's like, what does that mean? All right, shout out to Mary Hayner. Good answer. Good answer.
All right, Adrian, for my column, I wanted to get into something that we sort of discussed a little bit at the beginning, which is how long is it okay to eat refrigerated food? So I brought in Slate's food advice column from 2018. Daniel Isengart answers, when does reducing food waste turn into eating trash? My boyfriend and I have a very different standard for when we think food is old, as in old enough to throw away. Basically, I think anything is fine as long as it doesn't smell, and he's willing to throw something away after it's sat in the fridge for 2 days, and certainly once it's past its expiration date. Our different approaches probably reflect differences in our homes growing up, but as far as I know, he's never gotten sick from eating old food. I think food waste is a huge problem, and we should endeavor to limit waste. He is scared of illness. Fair. Who is right? How do we find a compromise?
Maybe I'm being a lib, but I'm kind of triggered by the photo in the article. I have definitely seen some strawberries like that in my fridge before and gotten really sad. That's actually probably number one with a bullet.
Oh, fruit?
Yeah. And it's something where it's so, there's like a cognitive dissonance. There's two wolves, there's an angel and a devil on my shoulder where like I'll buy a thing of blueberries and I'll eat like, you know, just a little bit a day because they were, you know, not the cheapest thing in the world. And then it ends up going moldy and you're like, well, fuck me. What am I supposed to do here? I guess I'll buy frozen fruit and vegetables. They're supposed to be just as good.
Hey, I buy grapes too, freeze them.
Sometimes. I'll get frozen fruit, unfreeze them, mash them all together, put them back. It's a popsicle.
Yeah, I think I'm more on the boyfriend's end of things where, I mean, with milk-based stuff, if it says expired, it's probably getting tossed. But with most things,
yeah,
I'm kind of going smell test.
I think smell test. I also think
vibes test, too. Sometimes if something's just been in there long enough, I'm like, you know what? You had your chance.
Yeah, to your point about rice, I've definitely gotten some off rice before where I'm like, all right, I guess I gotta make a new batch. That one's usually pretty obvious. In terms of getting sick from food, what would that actually look like? Are you throwing up? Are you just pooping real bad that day? Or like, what is that?
I can think it can look like all sorts of things. Yeah. All of the above. I guess
it really
you
is
don't
a microcosm
blender,
of all
right?
things in relationships. No, not since one of my roommates moved out.
I was gonna say, that's definitely a go-to with fruit. Like, if something's getting soft but hasn't actually started to get moldy, I'll just toss it in the blender.
Yeah, shout out to that video that's in my algorithm that I never click on that's like, here's the pasta recipe for when you just need to get rid of all the leafy greens in your fridge before they go bad. Just simple enough stuff like that, for sure. Yeah, I think we're pretty aligned on this one. I have had to throw out food before because I'm just like, yeah, I can't justify this. Unless it gets to a pretty extreme place, I'm usually like, eh, I don't know, I'm not going to die.
I think the problem is it's like the picky eater thing. Obviously, it's easy for me to say this because we're in agreement. Not to sound cocky, I think we're basically on the right side of, obviously, the way we feel.
History.
The right side of history.
Mm-hmm.
We're probably minimizing food waste and the percentage chance of getting sick increase that we're taking on is probably pretty minuscule. So I think we're on the right side of things, but you can't reason somebody into that position. If they get the ick, it's like picky eaters. Like, if they get the ick from any food that's not chicken strips, it's like, you can explain to them in as many words as you want that there's a whole wide world of beautiful food out there you're missing out on, and it's so inconvenient for everybody. You're a picky eater. But it's like, I don't know, they still put the food in their mouth and they feel disgusted. What are you going to do? You can't change somebody's innate biological response.
No, I think what you do is you give them rice that's fresh and rice that's 5 days old. And then you show that they can't tell the difference.
Well, in that case, they would be able to tell the difference because it would be obvious.
No, they wouldn't. we'll see. We'll get back to you in a month.
Please do. I'm happy to take this challenge on. In fact, I'll do you one better. I feel like I wouldn't have to taste it. I'd be able to tell from the smell.
You get 5 guesses using each of your senses. Increasingly more easy. At first, you have to tell just by the sound of it.
All 6 senses, please. I want to know from balance first.
Your balance? From your sense of equilibrium?
7
aren't
senses.
There like 18 technically from your sense of temperature?
Yeah.
Your sense of self?
I want to do a tarot reading on the rice first, and then we'll move from there.
How extreme are you in terms of there's one moldy strawberry in a bin of strawberries, or even doing the I cut around the moldy part and eat the rest of it type thing?
Oh, I've looked this up before because it depends on the food. Cheese, cut off the moldy part, it's fine.
Bread, it's like if you see it, it means it's everywhere.
Bread,
right?
You toss. Which yeah. I did start doing since I read that that's like what you're supposed to do. Mm-hmm. Fruit, I think it depends. It's like if it's moldy, it's tossed. If it's soft and just has like, you know how like something can just die in an area, but it hasn't actually grown mold, that I'll cut off and eat still.
Mm.
But I don't know. Maybe that does mean it's moldy if it's gone like soft or like dead in an area. I don't
maybe
know.
Maybe I'd have to look that up too. Yeah. Bread was the only one that I knew for sure. I don't know if I really think about it in terms of food. Maybe I do think about it in terms of food waste. And maybe it is a little bit about how I was raised that like we work hard for groceries and we try and eat as much as possible. I don't actually know. Like, I think if my real worry was food waste, there's probably a way better strategy I could have to shopping and how I get my groceries than just being willing to eat things for a long time.
I think it's partially food waste in the sense of like, oh, it's a moral issue about like how much food we waste as our society, but it's also food waste in the sense of like, I don't know, I bought it. It's
a grocery store wastes more food in a day than I'll waste in my entire life. I don't know.
But
okay, you're saying value, that you bought something and that
yeah,
you the,
like personal value. Like I took the time to go, like it's not even just the money value. Like I don't know, it's maybe it's just like a inherent sense of thriftiness about like, why would you throw something away? Use it.
Yeah.
That's probably not logical because I'm sure like if you look at it, like cost wise, whatever.
Yeah. Your healthcare costs when you end up exploding your bowels out.
But what I was going to say earlier about this guy is, yeah, I mean, I don't know. Does he have like a physical revulsion? Like if he knows something is a day past the expiration date, is he gonna gag eating it, or is he just being a little princess? I guess that's kind of the follow-up question to the asker.
So this seems like, based on the question asker, I do like that they're framing it as like the way that we grew up, but also kind of moralizing it of being like, I grew up poor, so I had to struggle and eat old food. So I do like that they get to frame it that way. Do you and Isabel have besides cutting up fruit or pre-cut fruit, strong differences in? Clearly, like, you guys were raised in different ways about food in the fridge or whatever?
No, I don't think so. I think we're pretty much on the same page there. I will say, food waste-wise, I've dealt with this with a lot of roommates, where just, like, other people don't put away organic food, which always drives me insane. I don't know what families these people grew up with, or if it was, like, a post-growing up thing they got into where it's like, forget to put cheese back in the fridge, stuff like that. Forget to put a carton of milk back in the fridge.
Ooh, no.
Forget to like open a peanut butter jar and not screw it back on. It's like, that's not going bad, but it's still like, I want an airtight container on it. I don't want it just open to the air. Stuff like that I've dealt with a lot of roommates. And yeah,
Dora Lee was big on always losing the plastic clip or the twist tie for bread bags.
I think I actually do that one, so I can't fall.
You piece of shit.
I definitely do the, like, twist it and then fold it under the bag and just put it back in the pantry.
Wow, wow, wow.
Fold it and let the weight of the bread keep it closed.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's kind of like a butter bell. It really keeps itself sanitary like that. What was I going
to
say?
But you've never run into that with roommates? You've never run into a roommate who thinks, like, who doesn't remember to put stuff up after cooking, like they don't put ingredients back away?
No, Tin was a leaving cabinet doors open guy. That was
I'm that type of guy.
About him, god, you're the worst. Having to go into the kitchen and close all the cabinet doors is so annoying. I will say, and I don't do this anymore because my fridge space is limited, because I share it technically with one other person right now, but it's supposed to be, I have my own 1/4 of the fridge designated for me. Which I will say, annoying part about Adrian, I am a very big, let's all have our own specific places to put things in communal areas, which is actually one of the things I liked about the house when I was interviewing for it. It is very limiting. When I had a whole half of a fridge to myself with Tin, I got really into the main thing that I got questions about when I was at Trader Joe's, which is like, I buy a bag of spinach and it never lasts that long. And I'm like, all right, from what I've heard, you have to take it out. You have to immediately wash it, put it in a different container. And there was a while when I was living with Tin where I had a whole crisper drawer with a moist towel on the bottom, like a little kitchen towel. And any like produce that I bought, I would just open it, put it in there loose, and it would just hang out loose in a little drawer with a little moist towel, and it would last way longer. Obviously, you couldn't do that with like lettuces and stuff, but that's another one where you like go ahead, put it in a salad spinner, and then rinse it, dry it off, throw it in the fridge like that.
Get your own label printer and move the expiration date on everything if he doesn't know that it's expired.
Ooh, get a European boyfriend who thinks that the month and the date are switched.
That seems like it would very quickly figure it out, but you know what? Maybe he's stupid too. Maybe he's like, in America, you guys have 30 months. Get yourself a European himbo.
Yeah, so in land of excess. In typical American excess, you guys have 30 months.
Oh yeah, he's Russian.
Yeah.
The other thing I was going to say, though, they only taught us about the 12.
I watch enough cooking YouTube where one of the things that I hate is the trope of people acting like they know you, where they're like, so next time, you know, when you have that moldy bag of half bag of spinach in your fridge, and it's like, hey, you don't know me, buddy. I don't buy spinach like that.
Because you know you'd have the moldy half bag of spinach.
No, I'd have eaten it. I'd have used it in my smoothies. Mm. I'd have sauteed it down.
All right, do you want to hear the answer?
Yeah, let's do it.
While your stance about minimizing food waste is laudable, I'm afraid you are putting the cart before the horse. The real issue here is not finding a compromise regarding when it's okay or not to throw food away. Rather, it should be about finding a way to prevent food from ever getting to the point where throwing it away feels necessary. No matter your standard, never mind that the human nose is not equipped to detect harmful levels of bacteria with any reliability. If it were so, no one would ever be affected by foodborne illness. By eating food even when it's no longer fresh, you are basically turning your own body into the very trash can you profess you want to avoid.
Boo.
Instead of debating the shelf life of food groups, let me urge you and your boyfriend to examine when and how you shop for groceries, dock your refrigerator, and plan your meals. This will require a new level of forethoughtfulness, discipline, and most importantly, communication between the two of you. But look at it this way. It will give you a chance to learn something new together and turn the old argument, this is still good, no it's not, into a joint effort to find a more constructive solution. In addition, you might discover the pleasures of consistently eating food that is, well, fresh. Here are some useful hints on how to make it happen. Many a vegetable drawer I see in my work as a private chef is a veritable cabinet of horrors, filled with rubbery carrots, half-rotten mushrooms, wilted greens that have already begun to break down into mush, smelly halved onions, and quarters of limes with brown edges. This is food waste of the lowest order. Make it a point to regularly take stock of your fridge's inventory before buying any new produce. So much of it gets wasted because we forget we have it or are too lazy to use it. One good tip is to always wash and tumble dry all lettuces, greens, and fresh herbs right away and store them in an airtight container with a piece of paper towel to absorb condensation. That way, they are conveniently ready, nay, eager to be used, and will keep longer. But don't think that buying pre-rinsed, heaven forbid, pre-cut produce gets you any brownie points.
Hey,
that stuff is very likely already days old by the time you put it into your shopping basket. When you cook a meal from scratch, try to produce an amount that will yield no more than 2 complete meals each time. Store leftovers in sealable glass containers so you can see at a glance what you have and plan your next meal accordingly. Understandably, you might not want to eat the same dish twice in a row, but having leftovers on the second day after you cook the meal is acceptable by any standard. In addition, there are ways to circumvent tedium by transforming leftovers into a completely different dish. The classic example for this is the roast chicken that becomes a broth made with the bones and a salad made with the leftover meat. Ultimately, I'd like to urge you to consider freshness as your ultimate standard instead of expiration dates. After all, the best way to respect produce and food is to consume and use it up while it's in its prime. Okay, wait.
Nice.
That's what she was saying, was that she doesn't care about expiration dates. She just does it that she'll eat something if it's still fresh, but technically past the expired date. And then he went on a rant that was like, you are making you're eating stinky old food.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I don't agree with the answer. I was mostly starting to get on a tangent about thinking about the differences between best buy dates and expiration dates and sell by dates and all that bullshit.
Yeah, exactly.
Picked on date.
Exactly. But that's what I think what he was getting at the end there. It's like, yeah, those dates don't really mean anything.
Yeah.
But he also started by being like, oh, yeah, you are probably eating old stinky food. You're turning your body into a trash bin.
Yeah, yeah, that was a little bit far. I didn't like that.
I was like, I think she's being a little self-deprecating, but it sounds like her boyfriend's definitely a little too far on the safe side. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. This makes me think of, because Nicole has been on pod talking about how one of her things is that she keeps food forever, no matter what. And so since I house it for them, I definitely see the state of their fridge. And there are certain things where like, I don't like.
Well, that's why you take stock. I never get with to eye that. And smell. Like if something's browning or, you know, then you.
Yeah. Yeah, but even then, like the, oh, brown lime wedge, it's so terrible in these vegetable drawers. And it's like, is that actually a worse lime? Isn't that lime the same?
That's true.
Juice that you're going to use? Yeah, I don't know. It seems okay to me.
I guess it depends on how much browning there. That's kind of like what I was saying about like a fruit. You can tell if a fruit's just gone a little soft and bad versus if it's gotten moldy. Like there's a difference between losing color and growing mold.
Mm.
Cool. Do you want to get to the third segment?
Yeah, let me get a drink real quick, but then I'll be back. By the way, I just got my lab results from this morning.
And?
Good, not great. My A1C is 7.2.
I know what that means, and you've got to get that up or down, for sure.
Up or down, but it can't stay there. It cannot stay there.
That's no good.
All right, what's the third segue?
A weekly food prep. It was kind of like what I was talking about with like how visually appealing it can be. It's a bit of a social media trend.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure it's something that as people have like clued onto, they've realized it improves their lives. But I don't feel like it was as big when we were growing up. And now a lot of people are food prep people. So it got me thinking about what other food trends are big. And I saw that there was a Wikipedia page for TikTok food trends. So I wanted to go through it, see what you know about these trends. We can discuss them and what we think about them. Okay, the first one on this list I didn't even know about, cloud bread. Were you in on cloud bread?
Yeah, is that where like you beat egg whites so that they're like kind of like a soft peak and then you use that to make bread so it's like more fluffy or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
No, never heard of it. No, what's the deal with cloud bread?
I sent you the link if you want to follow along.
Okay.
It gained popularity. It's kind of how you said it. Looks like it's just like a fluffy type of bread.
Because it makes me think of those pancakes, the Japanese pancakes, where they do that to make them like very big and jiggly, and people always like those cloud
pancakes. Maybe
you
would like it because it's a low-carb bread substitute, because it's made from egg whites,
is it really?
Cornstarch, and sugar. Oh, I guess the sugar really destroys the point of it for you.
Yeah. In July of 2020, when everyone was making their own bread, people wanted to make their cloud bread. Interesting. I don't actually remember hearing about this that much. This is not what I thought. I really thought, I basically just, my mind went to the Japanese pancake.
Well, once
place,
you said egg whites, I was like, you were right, because it does say that that's like the,
I mean, that makes sense. Yeah, that would give you a light, airy texture. And let's give a shout out to user Lin Kwana for coming up with that. We can skip Dalgona coffee. I think we have talked about that on pod before.
Cool. Well, that is one
I watched
I have
my
made,
roommate make
so.
It once. Oh yeah.
It is true. It does taste, you know, it does taste a little bit more caramelly, a little sweeter, but probably not worth the effort for anything other. And it's not that good. Just kind of like interesting that it changes flavors. Hot chocolate bombs. I do remember hearing about this. I've never had
one.
Oh,
you're skipping over decorative focaccia bread?
We can do that. Go for it.
I had a friend who did it. I had a friend who made focaccia. That was one of her pandemic things. But yeah, you do like a stick of rosemary to make like a tree with like a tomato as like the actual plant on the tree, or you know, you make a little landscape using different classic accoutrement for focaccia. And at the end of the day, it's focaccia, which focaccia is delicious. I don't know if you can really mess it up, but I don't know if making it pretty like that really matters that much to me. But it's a fun way to
reminds me of that like Buddhist art where after you create it in the sand, you rake over it because it's temporary, and that's part of the beauty. And this, you make your little forest scene on top of your focaccia, and then you eat it, and it's temporary.
The greatest illusion is permanence. It's what the Buddhists say.
But also, you've probably taken a photo of it, so actually, you're good.
I don't think the Buddhists do. Oh, that reminds me. I didn't do my meditation this morning. I need to go. I've been rereading.
I could
kind of
tell you were
of
off balance.
I'm fucking insane right now, dude. I don't even know what's going on. I didn't get my Sufi wisdom for the day.
Hot chocolate bombs. chocolate spheres filled with hot chocolate mix and confections like marshmallows, and they can be placed in hot milk. They'll melt and release their content.
I think I saw this one in stores, and I just always assumed it was a commodity product. This seems like a weird make-at-home thing.
Just because something's on TikTok, it might have been something people weren't really making. It might not have been recipes. It might have been somebody showing it off.
I mean, I guess so. I'm just saying that so far, everything has been something you would make at home. But I guess that's like Cake Pops, too, right? Like, Cake Pops blew up on TikTok, or were they at Starbucks first? There's no way Starbucks originated them, right?
Starbucks bought Cake Pops from somebody. I can't remember if they were on Shark Tank or not. I think they might have been.
They were on Shark Tank? I don't know. That just seems like an insane thing to go up to Mr. Incredible and Mark Cuban and be like, yeah, it's like a cake, but it's circular.
I can't remember, but like, there's a whole story about, like, people know about this, but it was like, I think they licensed it to Starbucks because it was starting to gain popularity and they made a lot of money.
I thought the story behind it was that it was an accident. It was a guy researching in the lab.
He was doing very important popsicle research, and on the floor above they were doing very important cake research, and one day the floor caved in.
That's what happens. Do you have a verdict on hot chocolate bombs? This isn't something I would buy.
I think it sounds appealing to a high schooler, but I think once you have enough life experience, you go, oh yeah, that's not going to taste as good as regular hot chocolate. Like, you need to heat it up with the cocoa mix in there. And it's a stunt, right?
Well, it's a presentation. Yeah,
it's a stunt.
It's like,
but the presentation doesn't actually convert into as good a product.
Have you ever had the blooming tea?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, where you buy like a little ball and it blooms into a beautiful little flower in the tea. I think I had that. It kind of seems like that. It's like a nice little... I will say, I have an interesting relationship with marshmallows in that I used to not like them, and I think I've moved to finding them tolerable. But I really don't...
I wouldn't call it interesting. I would call that the most fascinating factoid I've ever heard in my life.
Thank you. Can I make it in the episode?
I don't know.
Does it reach the level threshold of interesting? But yeah, that's the thing about hot chocolate, is that it's such a classic thing to pair with marshmallows, and it's like, I don't know, are they really adding anything? Just having a marshmallow in there?
I'm sure you can buy them with sprinkles on the inside. You can get it with the confections that meet your lifestyle, Adrian.
I would want it with a Ghirardelli chocolate. Baked feta cheese pasta, baby.
Mm-hmm.
It's a block of feta with some tomatoes. You roast it, you smash it all together with some olive oil, add some basil, garlic, and... your cooked pasta, and boom, you got yourself a delicious little dish. Credited to a Finnish food blogger named Jenny Hyrinen, and I believe there was maybe drama about her getting credit for it, but I can't remember now that I think about it. Oh yeah, and of course there's the classic fact that it led to the shortage of feta in Finland because of it.
So I think we both know this because of Internet Shack, or did you know about it before him?
Ooh, hard to say, but I'm pretty sure I definitely know. That's definitely my reference point for it now.
And he made a video, like an April Fool's video, where it was a recipe for this kind of, I guess, making fun of the idea. It actually doesn't
seem... Well, he wasn't making fun of the dish. He was making fun of how people make food content for TikTok.
Yeah, but I think including a dish like that... There's something about how you put the feta in the middle of the tomatoes, even though you clearly could just put it in the corner of the dish, that it's, you know, like, there's a bit of a...
No, because then you're going to get too much browning, because it's going to have too much heat around it. You want it in the middle.
Fair, fair. There's a virality to it because it seems simple and easy and tasty, and it probably is, but is it like really a meal you'd make more
seems
than
like probably be good.
Once in a while? Probably not.
I mean, I might fuck around and make this tomorrow. Who knows? It seems like a solid recipe. I'm going to go buy some Israeli feta and some tomatoes, some basil, some garlic, and there you go. Maybe we could add some green vegetables to that. I feel like that wouldn't be a bad idea.
Okay, Adrian's trying to make it healthy. Okay, Mom.
Chef John from foodwishes.com just came out with baked feta pasta version 2, like a week ago on his channel. And I can't remember what upgrades or differences he made, but I did
watch
the video.
This time it's 4K.
Hey, true.
Oh, chili oil eggs. Honestly, if you told me I'd heard about this in like 2015, I would have been like, that's true. I can't believe that this was a 2021 trend, according to Wikipedia. Yeah, apparently it's putting chili oil on top of your eggs.
Well, is it, or is it cooking it in chili oil? Because I imagine that the pesto egg recipe is cooking an egg in pesto, which I actually don't think sounds that good, even though both of those things are good.
Oh, you're right. She is cooking it in the chili oil. I'm watching.
I'd rather just put it on top after I've fried it in butter.
Looks good. I'm sure it's tasty. I think chili-
when it comes to these people who go viral for these kind of recipes, is this like a
yeah? This doesn't really feel like something
them,
somebody had to invent. It just feels like something you would do.
That's what I was gonna say. Is that like if people are getting rich off of this, I might, you know, spend a month just trying to do very simple recipes on TikTok and then hoping that I blow up one of them, because apparently you can just put chili oil in an egg and be like, hey, come on now. Are you crazy?
I wouldn't do Jen Curley like that at Snack Queen on TikTok. I think she probably hustled for her.
Queen. You come with the queen, you best not miss.
I think her insight that you can use all types of oils to cook eggs is an important one.
Mm. Yeah, it's true. I don't know about this one. Flamin' Hot Cheetos Salad. TikTok user RxThism created a viral recipe adding Flamin' Hot Cheetos to a salad mix. Okay, all right. The dish, which has garnered over 4.5 million views, consists of Flamin' Hot Cheetos, hot sauce, cilantro, cucumbers, and lemon juice. The dish reflects a broader food fad in September 2021 on TikTok, where users incorporate junk food into dishes. Was that a parasite thing?
Well, I was going to say that's an Aki Way thing.
Oh, the Aki Way. Oh, I guess so. But I that seems different than putting it in a salad. It's like putting frozen mozzarella sticks onto a frozen burger into a frozen Jamaican beef patty. Doesn't seem like you're incorporating junk food and stuff. It just seems like you're, I don't know, making junk food. Is junk food PC? Are we not supposed to say that?
I think it's fine. I think you can still say junk food.
Okay. All right. Just want to make sure
but
I'm not
lame
out,
food.
Mm. It sounds kind of gross to me. I'm not going to lie. I don't think I want my...
Yeah, it doesn't sound that good to me either. I don't want...
This would be good to
touching.
Meal prep. You
want to
eat this like 5 days later.
When those hot Cheetos are nice and soggy.
Yeah, that's when they're the best.
When some of that lemon juice has just really soaked in and made it a mush.
Mm.
Yeah, I don't know. This doesn't really sound like it goes together, but maybe that's why it got big, because it sounds like it doesn't go together and then you do it and you're surprised.
Maybe it's just fun to watch. Maybe it's a really well-shot video. Are we not giving any of these credits for the editing and the lighting?
I can try
and
to watch this one too.
No, it's okay.
Okay, I made it to 2022. Is there anything you want to do between that one?
I didn't know about frozen honey. I didn't know about leftover salmon bowl.
But the only thing about frozen honey that got me was it was funny that a bunch of people started reporting that it gave
them
diarrhea.
Shit themselves?
Yeah.
Yeah, how much honey do you have to eat for it to give you diarrhea? Mashed salmon and rice heated in a microwave with an ice cube on top to create steam. Oh, I know this. Yeah, okay. That kind of reminds me of... Matty Matheson's doing that thing where I think it's been a while now, but he's doing one of those like health journey things. And he was like, yep, so this is what I make most days. It's salmon on rice with like some vegetables. And I was like, yeah, that's how you meal prep, baby. This kind of seems like that, but maybe a little bit more souped up, I guess. And then we got to pesto eggs and pasta chips. All right, what do you want from 2022?
I think cowboy caviar is a classic dish. That's so funny for them to be like, oh, this was a TikTok trend.
Did you know about it pre Trader Joe's?
No, but. I think it's been it's like an Isabel family since they're Texans. It's like an Isabel family, like, oh, my family makes good cowboy caviar.
Do they? Is it actually good?
Yeah, it's delicious.
Is it better than Trader Joe's?
Trader Joe's is almost like a salsa. Like it's still got like a very tomatoey.
It's in the salsa aisle, yeah.
Yeah, theirs is a lot more like just the chunky ingredients without so much liquid. It's really good.
I mean, the picture in the Wikipedia looks like a salsa that you dip tortilla chips in, but...
I guess they're just saying that there was a revival of it. People on TikTok liked it enough that it's considered a TikTok revival dish. Variations include
incorporate mangoes, peaches, and pomegranate seeds.
Yeah, these sound sweeter than the recipe Isabel's family has.
Yeah, it's pretty savory. Let's see. Well, I mean, I feel like we should talk about water pie, even if we're not going to we're not talking about our own experiences with it. Water pie is a Great Depression-era recipe for a pie with a filling primarily from water, along with pantry staples like flour, sugar, and butter. It went viral on TikTok, with some users experimenting with variations, including a version made with Sprite.
Water pie.
Is that just a sign of the times, or is this people on Peasant Talk? What's going on here?
I don't know. It sounds interesting. You can't see the virality of that content being like, we're going to make a Depression-era food. It's called water pie. You put flour and water and sugar together.
Yeah. All right. Yeah.
The picture looks disgusting. It looks like they've burned their water pie, which feels like one of the few dishes that you should at least...
You should not be able to. Yeah.
You shouldn't be able to fuck it up.
Oh, did you watch Drew Gooden's last video?
I did, which is very in line with what we're talking about today, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, next up is cottage cheese, which is
He has a montage of people talking about cottage cheese as a high protein ingredient to like substitute in everything.
And it's so right, yeah. There has been a recent obsession with just stuffing cottage cheese and shit, and I don't really like cottage cheese that much, so.
Okay, I feel safe saying this now. It's one of those foods where I tried it because I was house-sitting for someone. They're like, hey, I'm leaving a half tub of cottage cheese if you want to eat it, feel free. And I texted Nicole, you know, we talked before about picky eaters with her husband, and I was like, I'm going to try cottage cheese, I'm going to give it a go. It's always seemed very disgusting to me, but I'm going to give it a real earnest shot. And I sent her a message back being like, C+, not great.
Yeah, it's not for me.
Yeah. But you can do it savory and sweet. I did appreciate that when I was looking up recipes for how to use it. Ooh, girl dinner.
I don't know. Do we need to be a male podcast talking about girl dinner? Should we skip over this out of respect?
I think I've talked about it on pod before. I was eating girl dinner way before it got popular.
Yeah, I know. I think that's a pretty common take. I agree.
Now I do eat a boy supper sometimes, though. I still eat boy supper.
Okay, sleepy girl mocktails.
Okay, again... As two male podcasters, we don't need to make any jokes about what someone might call a sleepy girl mocktail.
Yep, that's a normal thing to call a drink and not think about any other potential definitions.
And tart cherry juice is known to help with sleep, so.
Water talk.
Mmm.
This was really only in 2023. Culture moves so fast. I feel like we've been on water talk for decades.
Is water talk the one that gets critiqued because it's people being like, put some lemons in your water and now you have a lemon water? Or is it more complicated than that?
It might have evolved from that. What I've seen is like they have all those like syrups and they do like, it's almost like a cocktail of syrups in the water. And they usually do it into like a Stanley cup. And it's also kind of about the like accoutrement, like it's about the Stanley cup you have and the
carrier.
But
this says that it was criticized for behavior associated with eating disorders. So it's still calorie free.
Maybe because
so calorie free ingredients.
Yeah, maybe because the sweeteners and the flavoring is calorie free syrups and flavoring.
I'm not opposed to it. This is another question that I got from Phil yesterday was, do you count how much water you drink per day? And I was like, nah, I drink like two of my reusable water bottles every day. That's about it. Dubai chocolate. I had a Dubai chocolate cheesecake before the show on Tuesday with my little boy Spencer.
Hey, I'm just happy people are getting into pistachio flavored sweets in America. It's a great flavor.
Oh, so good. Yeah. I mean... Shout out to Stephen Colbert, who just lost his job, but he was always on the pistachio commercials for is the brand just called pistachio? I can't remember. Simply Pistachio? The salt and pepper pistachios at Trader Joe's, so good. Fuck, I'm just thinking about Trader Joe's this entire time.
All right, Adrian, any final thoughts on food trends?
Shout out to the Dubai Chocolate Labubu. I like that meme that came out that was like, 6 months ago, no one would have had any idea what any of these words mean.
Shout out to Labubu. Have you seen the backlash to Labubu where it's like, it's kind of like the Yu-Gi-Oh stuff where he's demonic and the Chinese are sending their little Satans over here to take our children's soul?
I didn't know it was a Chinese thing.
Yeah. You thought Americans could come up with Labubu? Grow up, Adrian. Keep up.
American innovation.
We make like software that spies
Henry
on
Ford
you.
Couldn't I could have made the assembly line. Henry Ford could not make the Labubu.
All right, my big fact is when you prep your food for a week, if you think about it, you're really a slave to your meal.
Make the food, don't let the food make you.
Open your mind, Adrian.
Okay, big man. My no cap is if you do meal prep and you are worried about variety, sometimes doing a half and half, kind of like the flight we were talking about, does work really well. You know, make half your meat slot meals with turkey and half with like ground beef. Or have a different sauce for each day. That sometimes helps.
Cool. Bye.
All right. Happy meal prepping, boys and gals and non-binary pals.